you, Chair. Good morning, members, and good morning, colleagues. The agenda for today, the 8th of March, 2017, is as follows. Apologies, adoption of the agenda, and members then will reflect on the committee processes with regards to the national minimum wage, just to engage on that process. Then after that, it will be a consideration of the draft consolidated report on the national minimum wage, which will be led by the content advisor. And after that consideration, it will be another consideration of a draft report of the second quarterly of the Department of Labor, which was presented to the committee last year. Now the committee will just have to consider that report. Then it will be consideration of draft minutes of last week. Then closure. Thank you, Chair. I only have one apology from Mr. Matisha, Chair. Thank you.
Members, the program has just been read. Any honorable suffering?
Sorry, Chair, just a question. I assume that this very comprehensive document of the researchers is going to, we're going to get some sort of presentation or some sort of input from them as to the content. It's a very thorough, very long document. But I mean, I wouldn't want to just randomly discuss it. So I'm just asking, is either Cindy or somebody going to present something? There's a presentation? Okay, then I'm covered.
They would be presenting it.
Then I'm covered, thank you.
Honorable Bahrain proposed for adoption, and Honorable Tongman is seconding. So we will then members, do you want this reflection as number one, or do you want the committee researchers and content to start with the national minimum wage? Which one do you want to reflect on what the minister has said? Honorable Lodiwa?
Thanks, Chair. I propose that we get the report of the researchers so that when we make reflections, we have the full report.
Honorable Bahrain, you are nodding. Okay, then let's start with the report of the researchers first.
Good morning, honorable members, colleagues, and guests. Our report is divided into three sections. The first section is the section on the workshops that were conducted, and then the second section is the public hearings that we went throughout the country, and then the third section is a research report. Following the whole process started when the president made a pronouncement regarding the national minimum wage in his SONA address of 2014. So the portfolio committee of labor after that engaged on an information gathering process on the national minimum wage. In the first round of the process, 12 organizations presented before the committee, the portfolio committee of labor. That was between the 20th of August and the 19th of September 2014. So the organizations that presented were some of them were from academic institutions, for example, the Development Policy Research Unit of the University of Cape Town, and then the Social Law Project of the University of the Western Cape, PLUS of the University of the Western Cape, and there was also the Professor Neil Rankin from the University of Stellenbosch Economics Department. And there were also seven employer organizations, which included AgriSA, Black Management Forum, Business Unity South Africa, National Employers Association of South Africa, SANTACO, and the Chamber of Mines. The second round of the workshops was held between 23rd and the 24th of June 2015. There were nine organizations which comprised organized labor, organized business, and small individual businesses. The organizations included the AHI Business Network, South African Domestic Services and Allied Workers Union, MAMIA Travel Tours, Confederation of South African Workers, National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry, COSATU, FEDUSA, and NATU, who made the joint presentation. So I'm going to focus on the findings from the workshops and the recommendations, and also from the public hearings. Okay, the findings from the workshops were as follows. These are the proposed findings. The impact of introducing the sectoral determinations on employment levels in the retail, domestic, forestry, taxi, and security sectors was statistically insignificant. However, there was significant increase in wages in the taxi industry, domestic, security, and retail sectors as a result of the...
Sorry, just the page number?
Oh, I'm now on page 28.
Thank you.
No, I just made the introduction and then went straight to the findings and recommendations.
Thank you.
28,
29. So as you page, then take us through, tell us where you are.
I'm now on page 29, the findings from the workshop presentations. On the bullet number 3, there was a change in working hours as a result of introduction of sectoral determinations. Working hours increased from 42 to 49 hours per week in the agricultural sector. That was between 2002 and 2003. In the sectors where employment continued to grow after introduction of the sectoral determination, there was a reduction in the usual number of weekly hours. And then there were agriculture sector-specific findings, which was that in areas where the wage gap was higher before the introduction of the sectoral determination, there was a decrease in employment after it was implemented. The farm workers who kept their jobs received a significant wage increase of close to 18%. And then a move away from non-permanent workers was recorded. The number of workers with a written contract of employment increased to reach 57% in 2007. The employment level fell significantly in response to introduction of the sectoral determination in the agricultural sector. Non-compliance to the sectoral determination was recorded at 45%. There was a dramatic shift towards compliance in the agricultural sector. The Western Cape and Gauteng were the best performing provinces in terms of partial compliance in agriculture. And that the proposed recommendations as follows. It is recommended that the capacitation of the inspection and enforcement services to ensure higher levels of compliance. That a ceiling on executive pay be considered as part of the process of narrowing the wage gap. the strengthening of the current system of sectoral determinations and collective bargaining, and then striking a balance between protecting vulnerable workers and limiting potential negative economic consequences. That a regulatory impact assessment is considered once or if a bill is referred to Parliament. That the national minimum wage is fixed at a level where new entrants to the labor market can be absorbed at an affordable and sustainable cost, and that a healthy trade-off between a minimum wage and employment be maintained at all times. That social transfers are considered in a fight against poverty, but this requires tax revenue, which is dependent on the level of employment. That other policies such as end income tax credits similar to that in the United States are considered, since they are allegedly better at increasing incomes without the same negative effects as the national minimum wage. Then on page 30, that public consensus on the concept of national minimum wage should be fostered, including how a figure is to be determined. Much work has already been done in this regard through institutes like the Study of Poverty and Inequality Institute. That a comprehensive wage policy be developed as part of Decent Work ILO program. That a national minimum wage be located within the overall wage framework. That a collective bargaining model is considered, which includes coherent demarcation of sectors, greater state support for NEDLAC, statutory and non-statutory bargaining fora, better equipped inspectorate, etc. New section 55.8, minister can be supportive of establishing a forum for employees and employers who are not covered by any other sectoral determination. And then unpacking of bargaining levels to permit some issues to be bargained at workplace level. And then moving collective bargaining beyond the existing coverage of standard employees. Lastly, that the exemptions of the informal sector, small businesses employing less than 50 employees, and industries where sectoral determination already existed be considered. So that was all the recommendations from the workshops. And then the next phase was the phase on public hearings. And then the findings from the public hearings are on page 39. Paragraph 82. Okay. After considering all the oral submissions, the committee made the following findings. The majority of participants were consistent in proposing 5,000 rand per month as the national minimum wage sufficient for them to provide for their basic needs. Some employers who were operating in sectors covered by sectoral determinations as provided for in Chapter 8 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act were paying below the stipulated wage. It was apparent during the public hearings that, except for unionized workers, the majority of the public was not aware of the proposal for the national minimum wage. The views of the majority of participants were informed by their specific workplace experiences and therefore sectoral in nature. One of the labor representatives proposed that a living wage should rather be looked at than the national minimum wage. Some of the issues addressed to the members of the committee could have been better handled by union representatives. Most workers were still subjected to poor working conditions that are in contravention of labor legislation, such as the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. Wage discrimination was still based on race, and sex in some sectors of the economy, such as the agricultural sector. Some farmers provided protective clothing for farm workers, but deducted the amount from the wages of workers or workers
had to buy their own protective clothing for themselves at some farms. Human rights abuses such as beatings of workers by employers still occurred in some sectors such as the agricultural sector. Most workers felt that they were not adequately represented. Some workers were employed on temporary basis for indefinite periods. Most workers seemed unaware of worker rights as enshrined in the Bill of Rights and other pieces of legislation such as the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and the Labor Relations Act. There was a general complaint about poor enforcement of labor laws. And then the recommendations from the public hearings are on page 40. Firstly, notwithstanding the consistent proposal of 5,000 rand per month as a national minimum wage, it is recommended that the consensus on the concept be fostered, including how an amount should be determined. Such an amount has to be fixed at a level where new entrants into the labor market could be absorbed at an affordable and sustainable cost. The Inspection and Enforcement Services program has to be strengthened to ensure that employers comply with their labor legislation. An awareness campaign on sectoral determinations has to be conducted to ensure that both employers and workers who are covered by such determinations are aware of stipulated minimum wages in those sectors. The funds provided for in the amended legislation have to be enforced to curb the abuse of workers by employers. And then general awareness campaigns on labor rights as enshrined in the Constitution and the relevant legislation have to be conducted to empower the workers. That was all the recommendations from the public hearings. The next session, Cindy is going to present on the research conducted on national minimum wage.
Morning, members, and morning, everybody. The research paper, we've got two research papers. One was conducted in February 2015, and we've had the other one following also later that year. In terms of the research, the first one, in terms of the request that was made, we looked at national minimum wages set by different countries. We looked at the UK, Germany, we looked at Sweden, France, United States, but then also later on in the second paper, we included more countries in Asia, Africa, everywhere. Well, our job was not really to come with conclusions or recommendations. Our recommendations, I suppose, they inform the recommendations of the committee in terms of the entire process when it was finalized. But just to highlight at some of the issues that we highlighted on page 84. Having done all the both the papers, we just highlighted that the committee needs to emphasize.
Sorry to interrupt, Sandy Chairperson. Can you just indicate in this copy that we've got where your first report ends and where the second one starts? Because you've mentioned lots and lots of countries there that I don't see in the table of contents. So I'm just wondering where are the two reports. There's lots of pages, yes, so maybe there's just a, you know, page 41 to 50 is one report or something. Sorry, Chair.
The first report is on page 41. It's until 58. And then the second report is 59 until the end. We'll just look at the second report which was the final one we made. It was a presentation made with Ikshan and myself. It was just to expand a little bit more on the previous paper that we had done, and to include a little bit more countries as well. So can I just move on to some of the highlights in terms of the paper? It's on page 84, where we concluded and emphasized the 3 points. Having done the research, we came to the conclusion that if there are successful countries, especially the Scandinavian countries, that do not have the national minimum wage, but in terms of closing down on inequality, those countries have been successful. So the discussion around the minimum wage, can it actually close down inequalities in societies? I think that was the main issue that we highlighted, that you have to make a balance when you propose a national minimum wage. Number two, some countries that have a national minimum wage, such as Mexico, have not used this instrument in a way that tackles unemployment, poverty, and inequality. Three, having a national minimum wage cannot lead to success in it, if it's the only instrument in a place to address inequality. Many interventions are needed, and they benefit from being carefully sequenced. The national minimum wage may be introduced with better results at a different time from the present. So basically, it's just to make consideration. I mean, in terms of our papers, one of the main arguments that we made was that in a country like South Africa with high unemployment rates and inequality, it's important to set a minimum wage, but then also make sure that your social protection floor is wide enough, and it's set, you've got all the required social security provisions to cushion the most vulnerable in society. So we also propose that Parliament has to look at the model, especially the UK model, where you make sure that all the stakeholders are represented, that is business, government, and labour. But finally, having considered everything, that all the research that we had conducted, it was quite clear that there's academic evidence showing that modest increases in the minimum wage do not necessarily destroy jobs and may in fact decrease inequality. So that was the conclusion that we had made in terms of our findings. Thank you.
The researchers, I think the first part, we have, it's not the first time that the researchers are presenting in front of us. So I think the latter part is what we, it's new in the sense that they have not presented, but this report was sent to members on the eve, the week before, because it was due next week, on the 27th of February. You all got this report. Any questions? Honorable Lulio.
Thanks, Chair. I propose that before we engage the report, Cindy draws scenarios for us, because they have made research in various countries. If she can rehash by saying the UK is saying this just in a few words, then Germany is saying this, so that we can be able to recollect our thoughts as we were reading the report. Thanks.
Honorable Ollis, your hand was up as well.
Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. and noted, Honorable.
Can I just one question and then one comment? Are we going to adopt this document as a committee report? Is that what we're going to do with it? It's not just for information, it's going to become our report. Okay. Then I just have one comment. I quite like it. I think it's very comprehensive.
There's a proposal that comes from Honorable Loli. We're asking the researchers to just talk about different countries and tell us the scenarios that are different from different countries. So I think before we engage,
okay,
Cindy, we'll have to do that. Honorable Khaula, you're covered. Okay. Sydney, sister.
Just highlight mostly on the UK because it was the model that we saw. I mean, it's highly praised and it's been there for quite a long time. We just highlight on the Low Pay Commission in the UK. It's an independent body that is made up of trade unionists, academics, and business people that advise government on the national minimum wage. I haven't checked the latest minimum wages for this year, but they're quite high. So I'm not sure if you want me to go into detail with each model.
You can talk to each country. I think that was the question. You've spoken about Britain. If we have more questions on Britain, you will ask. Then you can tell us about the other country because you've mentioned a number of countries. Just one, at least, just to understand the content.
What we did as well was to look at Germany. Because at the time when we did the research, Germany was fairly new. It was still implementing its minimum wages. More than that, it's because of the similarities in terms of discussion with the implementation. We highlighted that in Germany, when they initially implemented the minimum wages, you had this hype in terms of reaction with some businesses where they wanted to lay off staff and to come up with we actually made an example of a butcheries where they would actually charge workers for using instruments in the butchery just to cover up the minimum wage the minimum wages that were set. So Germany, UK, those were the two countries that we also focused on in 2015. We also focused a lot in terms of Brazil. Brazil because not only we share some similarities with Brazil politically, and then also in terms of the economy, although they've got a far more a huge economy when it compares to South Africa. Brazil, when the focus with them was that it's not just the minimum wages where we focused on, but they also have a range of social protection flaws. I think that was the attraction, and then also. But then obviously after the crisis in Brazil, there were questions whether it was working or not, or it was all just hot air in terms of what they had proposed. France, we also focused on it, but then we also highlighted that France has some of the highest minimum wages in the world. So also the focus was that it's not really about the amount of money that is being set in terms of the minimum wages, but then you just have to look at the models, and then because in terms of currency comparison, it just won't work. So it's better you look at the unique situation of South Africa, but then look at the models and then how you can work that out in terms of addressing the high unemployment in South Africa. We also look at Botswana, which is in the SADC region. It's got an advisory body that advises the minister to set the minimum wages. So it works more or less like the Employment Conditions Commission in South Africa. So those are some of the countries we look at. In terms of Sweden, Sweden has, it does not have the minimum wages. Rather, they have a fairly advanced collective bargaining system, which is used to set minimum wages. So those are some of the examples.
About Canada, so that we at least we've covered all the continents. I was just saying, remember, since it's an example from different continents, it's fine. Africa was one. Europe, UK. Latin America, Brazil.
Sorry, you know, like when we prepared for this, because the committee report is such a, just to explain, maybe I look a little bit haphazard, but in terms of how I'm doing this. But for the paper, because it's just an attachment, it does not formally, like, it's not really forms a part of the recommendations of the committee. So it was just attached so that we looked at what we've done so far. So just to explain the haphazard way I'm doing it. But hopefully I'll answer some of the questions. So in terms of the United States, I mean, it's one of the oldest systems that we have. With the United States, we just highlighted that when South Africa sets minimum wages, they have to make consideration of sectors like in the US. When they first introduced minimum wages in the United States, they actually examined some of the sectors, for example, agriculture. It was only later on incorporated domestic workers and all other sectors that employ unskilled workers. So it's just to highlight that you can actually introduce it gradually. Fortunately, with the currently proposed national minimum wage in South Africa, it seems they've made that consideration.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm sure, unless members want more, because I think the importance is that at least the research has gone beyond the borders and not only in one continent, but different continents. At least there is an example, and I think we can take it from there. Now, your questions now. Honorable Khawula.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the report. Chair, it's not necessarily the question, but probably a contribution to the report and comments. While I would have anticipated that the research would probably focus on the common areas in terms of the minimum wage, for example, we have always said that the minimum wage has been introduced
as a result of the cry of the most vulnerable workers. So one will then anticipate a situation where with any country that is compared to, a specific reference will be made to that particular country in terms of its own vulnerable employees as compared to South Africa. For example, if you're referring to agriculture, your domestic workers and what, one will check as to a country that it is compared to, what is the plight of those vulnerable workers in that particular country, as to whether the minimum wage has managed to make a difference to that particular sector. That's number one. Number two, you will know that part of what motivated South Africa to introduce the minimum wage was the triple challenges which raised to the poverty, inequality, and unemployment. You have made reference to Scandinavia that whilst they have not implemented the minimum wage, but the levels of inequalities alone, you see, which is a good reflection. But in terms of other countries, what has been the impact of the minimum wage to close those gaps? You see, for example, I know that most trade unions, their argument at the level of NEDLAC, they have always brought the case of Korea. That Korea is one country that out of its inequalities and challenges that they came from, when they introduced the national minimum wage, it did make an impact. It did make an impact. It lifted the economy. It closed the inequality levels. It alleviated poverty. So you will expect that at least the research will actually punch holes to the outcries that we have been making in the country and say that we can look forward to this national minimum wage because of it has made impact into these countries. And this is the type of impact it has made. For example, in South Africa, you will say that you have sectors that have managed to pitch higher than the minimum wage in terms of their collective bargaining, you see. So you will not necessarily anticipate a national minimum wage to make an impact there because already those sectors, they've managed through their own collective bargain. But now in those sectors that the minimum wage is meant to target to, see, how can we then benchmark our hopes against the countries that we have made research against? The last one, which is not necessarily in the subject, there's also now, you ruled me out of order, Chair, but also if there are countries that have introduced as a support to minimum wage, what institutions have they put in place to make sure that the minimum wage is supported? And whether the minimum wage in those countries has been introduced, but also the maximum wage, you see, the maximum wage, so that you know that as you introduce the minimum wage, you are able to support the inequalities, because by introducing the national minimum wage as a medium to close inequalities, poverty, but how do you make sure that you don't leave a low floor through the minimum wage whilst you've got a skyrocketing floor or with no guidance of maximum wage? I understand it's not part of the subject of discussion, but I'm raising it as to check whether there are countries that have made an approach like that. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable colleagues, is your hand still up?
Chair, I do want to make one or two brief comments on the recommendations, and I know my colleague who's just stepped out for a second said to me he also wants to make some comments. I don't know, he didn't tell me what his comments are. But I don't, you know, I'm trying to respect the process. So if you tell me when we're going to discuss the recommendations, I'll give my one or two comments. But as far as the actual report goes, I'm very happy with it. I think it's a very good report. So the content of the report, I don't have any major comments on. I think it's actually well done. And I must just say to the researchers and to everybody else who had some inputs, I think this is a very good report because it really looks at all the different comments we received from around the country. It looks at what is happening practically in other countries. And I think it's just an honest, objective reflection of what is out there. So I think it's a very good report. And that's all I want to say about the report. I don't think I have any problems with the report. I just wanted to tweak one or two recommendations. But other than that, I actually think it's a good report.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, let me join my colleagues in welcoming the report. Yes, I agree, it's a good report. Having said that, I want to lament, though the lament is not focusing on the presenters. We, as a committee, we have applied for permission to go on study tours, and that application was turned down. That would have given us an opportunity to have first-hand information on the scenarios in whatever country we could have visited. Then it would have addressed some of the concerns that we might have as a committee. But having said that, how I wish we can also consider making another application, because remember, even when there is an agreement on national minimum wage, there's still going to be legislation to be put in place to implement it. Then it means we must be in a position to see what the world is, what the world's approach is in handling this matter. Then when I step down from that chair, when I look at the national minimum wage, I view it as a mechanism to strengthen collective bargaining. The sense I have is that in areas where salaries currently are higher than the national minimum wage, we applaud such employers. They cannot downgrade. But what we need to do, those sectors should continue with collective bargaining so that whatever increment can come their way, it does so as to influence or to have an impact in their salaries. One other thing, Chair, we need to understand that the national minimum wage aim is supposed to be a mechanism of looking at socioeconomic challenges that prevail at a particular time. That is why we were happy, though we are not necessarily discussing it deeply currently, when the NEDLAC report was presented, there was a talk of reviewers, so that it does not become a static thing where it's going to disadvantage people at some particular stage. I think, Chair, let me end there until we go to the recommendations. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Loliwe. Any more input from the members? Since there is none, now let's go to recommendations.
Chair, I just want to double check with the presenter of the first part. For me, recommendations of the first set were focusing more on sectoral determination, because the presentation which was made by Mr. Imabo was focusing more on sectoral determination. So I think what I'm going to do is to look at the second part, because the second part is talking specifically about recommendations, B, based on the national minimum wage. I just want to check with the members of the committee if it's the same understanding that we have.
Okay, can we pause for 5 minutes, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
So 29 and 30, and 39 and 40 are the two sets of recommendations. And from 41, it's quite study, which don't have a recommendation. They just tell you what's going on in the hospital. So those are the two sections.
When you're ready, tell us when you're ready. You can continue talking to each other. When you're ready, just tell us, then we'll start. Okay?
Chairperson, we're ready. We weren't caucusing, we were just chatting because I'm just going to grab a cup of tea while you're chatting.
Thank you, members, for this.
few minutes, we can then go back to where we were. Honorable Van Schalkwyk, your hand is up. And Honorable Bakri.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are all in agreement that we acknowledge the report and we take note of it, and it's actually a very good report, a very good reflection of the actual happening with regards to the national minimum wage up until where we are at the current conjuncture. But I think when looking at the report, it's more reflecting on recommendations based on the sectoral determination than actually looking at the national minimum wage. So I would therefore propose that we go to the next point on the reflection of the report being agreed upon at NEDLAC, and then we can make a comparative study between what we've agreed upon or the information that we've received through the public hearings and engagements versus the actual agreement at NEDLAC, taking also into consideration that this draft report has been presented or were taken into consideration by the Committee of Experts when they tried to conclude on the national minimum wage at NEDLAC. I don't know if I'm clear on that. Thank you.
There's a proposal, Honorable, which one should I take? There was a first hand.
I'm just not sure what that, if we could have an explanation as to what you said.
Okay, you want an explanation of what is being said. Anyone who understood, Honorable Van Schalkwyk, to elaborate further so that other members can hear? Honorable Oliver, I'll note your hand, Honorable Ollis.
Thanks, Chair. I understand Honorable Van Schalkwyk to be reminding us that we have looked at the draft report as presented to us, and we all agreed that it is a good report. But for us to discuss the recommendations broadly, let us not take only this report, because we have two sets of reports that deal with national minimum wage. The other set is what was presented to us last week, which is a NEDLAC process on the same matter. So she was proposing that as we continue with our discussion, let us infuse what was presented to us and then comment on it also without focusing solely on this one, because they talk to the same issue. Thanks, Chair.
Members, Honorable Ollis, thank you, members, Honorable Van Schalkwyk and Loliwa. Honorable Ollis.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's fine. I mean, I understand basically what you want to do. Just two comments. The first one is that Honorable Van Schalkwyk said that the NEDLAC panel had our document and they discussed it. We haven't approved a report yet on the national minimum wage, so I'm not sure which document of ours they discussed and where they got it, because this report is still not yet approved. We're about to now discuss it and possibly approve the recommendations. So I'm not quite sure what NEDLAC got from this committee, and if it was the same report that we have now, because, I mean, that would be really odd if they're discussing an unapproved report on this from this committee. The second thing is, I'm happy to discuss the minister's documents. You said to us last week we should prepare for that, so I'm very happy to do that. We are prepared for that. Can you just sort of explain how we will deal with the recommendations in this report? Are we going to approve the three that the minister gave us plus this one as a pack of four, or are we going to come back to these recommendations later on today? Or I just want some clarity on the process. I'm happy. I mean, we can discuss the other ones now. I'm very happy for that. I just want to understand the process of approving recommendations. Are we going to do recommendations on all four documents together, or what? That's just my query. Thanks, Chair.
Let me explain this part of how NEDLAC. There is nothing that will change what was said in the public hearings. Remember that on the 2nd of February, no, 2nd of September last year, we had a report by the researchers. And I think before that, the first meeting was when all that showed us what was compiled. All the stakeholders that we have met, including academics, that report is there. And that report is not confidential because it's on public domain. We went there, we were interviewed, I mean, all of us, including the opposition parties, about public hearings. So that is compiled. So there's nothing that is new. So all that what we have got, I did send to the minister's office. I did send to the councillor. The councillor is part. There's nothing wrong with that. We always have, unless we were saying that there's a report, but findings that we were on record on them everywhere, on papers, workers were on record, what transpired, there is nothing else that is there. That's all. So all what we have taken have been brought to the committee, they have it.
Just a two-finger chair. I'm quite happy. Obviously, any documents that were submitted to this committee can be submitted to anyone in the world. We don't have any secrets. It's just the committee recommendations or whatever that I was querying, because we didn't make a decision yet. It's all input documents. It's not output documents.
No. Rest assured that there were no recommendations. We have not made any recommendations, but what they looked at is what people were saying.
The submissions. Yes,
that's all.
No, that's fine.
Thank you. There are other questions that were needed clarity on how we should proceed again. Honorable
Lolliwe. Thanks, Chair. In response to the second question of Honorable Ollis on what I'm going to do with the recommendations of NEDLAC, that is the process I was proposing, that let's look at those recommendations and the recommendations that are here on national minimum wage, and then we conclude as a control.
So it's also, that's up for you members to air your views on what was presented last week and see what is that, how do we then get to the finality, taking into account that we have also have our own report.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I am on page 84.
Page 84.
Of the document presented by the researchers.
First.
Yes.
Okay.
I am looking at the conclusion there, the 3 points that are noted there.
Page 84.
Yes.
All with the members?
Yeah,
okay.
When on page 84, when I look at number one in the emphasis, the points of emphasis there, I propose that we take that point. When I look at number two in the 3 points of emphasis, to me, it is for noting, because it's just commenting on what Mexico has done. point three to me is also a point we can take and add on to this are the three recommendations from NEDLAC. That's my proposal, Chair.
Are you on this proposal?
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I'm quite happy to take proposals from NEDLAC and discuss them. But when I look at the structure of the document, there are recommendations on page 29 and 30, and then there are recommendations on 39 and 40. And then from page 41 onwards, it seems to me that this is summaries of research, that whole thing, the whole rest of the document. So I don't consider those 3 points on page 84 as recommendations from this committee. Because they are just for noting, as the one comment from Honorable Lollywell. This is comments from our research team to us as a committee. And so, I mean, I note them. It's interesting. It's useful input from them. But I wouldn't see them as recommendations, because it's not even under a section that says recommendations. They are just part of this pack of international research. The actual recommendations are those two sections. And then, obviously, we may want to add on to them because we've got the three documents from the minister. So, I mean, I hear what Honorable Lollywell says, and mostly she's saying they're just to be noted. And I agree with her, they're just to be noted. They're not committee recommendations. Unless we take them and transfer them to a section where it says recommendations and add them, we can do that too. But, I mean, I don't see them as recommendations. They're just part of the second batch of documents of research for our information so that we can come up with good recommendations. So they are just guidance for us. They are not our recommendations. So unless we turn them into recommendations, they're all 3 points are just for noting, unless I misunderstand the document.
On this point, members,
I
presented by researchers. The research is done for us. We will take what we want from this researched material and drop what we don't want. So I think we should move in that direction, not neglecting everything, but take, because that work is done for us. If there is something good that we think we can edit and come up with our own good words and make our own recommendations, let it be.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to talk on recommendations on page 29. First bullet, first one.
Just finish this one, then we'll come, because I can see that we are going straight to recommendations. We agree. Honorable Lollywood, do you want to, then I've noted your hand, Honorable, just make your recommendation in relation to what has been said.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to indicate that I'm lobbied by Honorable Hollis. Let's go to page 3940 and what is at NEDLAC. And when is another round, I would love to talk also.
Honorable Khaula and then Honorable
Mkhongi. Okay, thanks, sir. Chair, mine, I think I agree with most of the recommendation.
Page?
It's just a set of clarity. For example, on bullet one.
Which page?
Page 29. Okay. The bullet one, it talks about the capacitation of inspection and enforcement services. I think on a number of occasions in this committee, we've raised the issue of the capacity of our inspectors from the Department of Labor. Now, I just want to check if the recommendation deals with the quantitative part in terms of the numerical number of our inspectors, or it deals with some sort of qualitative capacity building. Just want, or is it both? Because, and what would be the measure? For example, if we say that we're saying that we need to capacitate our inspection service in our offices, are we saying that, say, for every number of sectors in the particular province, or number of employees, we need to have a ratio of inspectors? I just want to check clarity, because obviously, in another province, in another area, you may be content with 10 inspectors, for example, but in another area, that number may be too low. Just want to check if the recommendation seeks to advise us that perhaps we need to move towards a ratio approach in terms of beefing up capacity of our inspectorate services in the Department of Labor. Or if there's a different perspective, if they can just share with us. Bullet number two.
Sorry, why don't you just give us your recommendation, taking into consideration all these things that you are raising, the quantitative and qualitative. Remember that this research was done for us, and this, so you we can edit or leave it as it is, whatever recommendation that you come with.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Chair, my view is that let us put a ratio in terms of quantitative capacity of the inspectorate services, because the reality is that in most areas you find that the Department of Labor has got very few inspectors, hence they are unable to reach out. And I want to move to say that, for example, we can say that I will not be scientific, but I will just say that broadly, if we were to talk about for every 5,000 employees, you see, you at least need two inspectors. And then you guys can quantify that using it's my recommendation. The second bullet deals with the ceiling pay of executives, which relates to the point I was making initially of the maximum wage. If we talk about minimum wage, perhaps it's high time as well that we talk about maximum wage, both in the private sector and the public sector. I agree with the recommendation, and I'm not sure if I, obviously there will be some, I'm not sure if I have to attach an amount of what should be considered as a ceiling price, as a ceiling for the executive pay. But I think a comprehensive study, perhaps like the one that was done on the national minimum wage, should be conducted and see what could be the executive ceiling pay for, because it's really unfair. It exacerbates the inequalities. There's also number three, I'm dealing with three and four, the strengthening of the current system of the sectoral determination. I agree with it, but I'm not sure if the strengthening is referring to the sectors that are not necessarily covered both in the collective bargaining and also in the sectoral determination. That and I want to move to say that all sectors, they should be covered either under the council or the sectoral determination. And therefore, any sector that is not covered under the bargaining council or under the SD, it must then be put under the sectoral determination whilst pioneering ways of making sure that sector, whether it has got the potential to have a bargaining council on its own. But if it does not have any potential, it must fall under the sectoral determination. My last point is the bullet five. When you talk about the new entrance into the labor market system, I'm not sure, because it's not specific, and I'm going to move for a recommendation that it must expressively accommodate people that are there as either trainees or apprentices or whatever label they are given under the Skills Development Act, that those new entrants must accommodate learners. irrespective of the field that they are in. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mkhonyi, saying no. Honorable Bachlan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I presume what we're doing is we're now dealing with the recommendations in terms of our report before we deal with the recommendations of the Minister, which we will try, and from what I understand from Honourable Loliwe, we'll try and somehow incorporate it into our recommendations. So I'm going to then have a look at the recommendations on pages 29 and 30, and then I will have a look again at the recommendations on page 39 and 40, if you don't mind. So I'll go first to 29, that's number 22 of the report, and I go through the bullet points. The first one is about the capacitation of the inspections. We have on numerous occasions, like the, has just been said, we've been calling for greater input from the department and from government to pay towards the Department of Labor to get more inspectors. So we need an incredibly large input for more and more inspectorate. Over and above that, from what we also need is they need to be properly capacitated. From what I understand is they don't have motor vehicles, they don't have computers, they don't have the wherewithal to have it. And so I would actually expand on this bullet point and say that we call on government to grant a greater amount of monies towards inspectors right across the board, not just for the minimum wage, but for everything that they need inspectors for. I'm not sure where this, bullet point number two, I'm not sure where this comes from. This comes from left field, the ceiling on executive pay. That's a whole new area of investigation and debate, and I don't believe it fits in here at all. I believe we should just expunge that completely. I'm not sure where this is going to take us, because narrowing the gap of the wages of executives and the minimum wage is a debate that can take us months, if not years, and it's completely different to what we're dealing with. Unless, of course, employers are somehow trying to connect the executive pay to a minimum wage, I'm not sure what this has got to do with it. So I would call for the removal of bullet point number two. Number three, the strengthening of the current system of SDs and collective bargaining. My understanding is that the minister has tried to do that in terms of the accord on collective bargaining, and I would fit in that bullet point, I would fit in the minister's document headed Accord on Collective Bargaining and Industrial Action, and I put that in over there as our recommendation. I have some comments on it, but that's where I would try and slot that one in. In terms of protecting vulnerable workers, I think what we need to do is possibly look at various industries and various sectors of vulnerable workers, and then make recommendations to the minister as to where we want more sectoral determinations. There are, in fact, certain industries that require sectoral determinations. And in line with what the Democratic Alliance is going to recommend at the end of the day, we do recommend minimum wages as per sector. So we strongly would underline this particular point. Then bullet point number four, and I'm sorry I'm taking so much time, but I do want to comment on it, otherwise we're going to say we didn't comment, or therefore we agree. Striking a balance between protecting vulnerable workers and limiting potential negative economic consequences is one thing, but we need to expand on that. We also have to take into account the unemployed. And so we need to add to that bullet point to say that we need to strike the balance between a potential negative economic consequence of a minimum wage and unemployment. In other words, how do we encourage more employment? Because it's economics 101 that when you put the wage up, you're going to probably put a handbrake on job creation. And that's quite simple, and I would add that to that bullet point. number five, bullet point number five, that a regulatory impact assessment is considered once or if a bill is transferred to Parliament. Absolutely. I don't think they've done that. Our so-called experts who have put together this minimum wage, which was in fact chosen by the Deputy President, he chose the experts unilaterally, I think we do need to have some sort of regulatory impact assessment done in terms of that, because as you know, Madam, our Treasury has said that we'll lose 70,000 jobs. They've gone rather quiet on that. 700,000 jobs we will lose, and that was something that's gone very quiet. The next bullet point is that a national minimum wage is fixed at a level where new entrants to the labour market can be absorbed at an affordable and sustainable cost. I'm not sure what, unless that's referring back to an earlier point that I made, but my understanding then is that we're saying that we might have to give a differing minimum wage to new entrants, which then I would agree with. If we're going to look at absorbing new people into the marketplace, can we consider a differentiation? In other words, those that are already in a job, set a minimum wage, and to get new people in for the first 6 months or first 12 months at a lower minimum wage, just to get them in, to give them a toehold into this. So I'm not sure what that bullet point means. Then the second last bullet point, that social transfers are considered in the fight against poverty. The tax revenue, now again, I think we need to get more input on this. I don't really understand it. I'm not a tax expert. But from what I understand is this bullet point is repeating what the tax experts are saying. And it seems to make sense. And it's the same with the last bullet point on page 29. Again, I'm not sure if we've had any tax experts to tell us about this. Sorry, I bumped. I'm just turning over the page then to page 30. When it says the first bullet point at the top of page 30 that we need a public consensus on the concept of a national minimum wage, I don't know where this is going to... I don't know where this is going to take us, if anywhere at all, because you will recall that some of the oversights people did thumbsucks from the report from the public. You'll never get a public consensus. People from the public, for instance, were saying ridiculous figures. They want 10,000 rand a month or whatever. I mean, one can understand how people are feeling and what their expenses are, but I think that's... We're never going to get anywhere on this particular issue. That a comprehensive wage policy be developed, I would support that very strongly. Again, I think this might be tautologous because we've already got a recommendation from our so-called experts on the 3,500 or the 20 rand per hour. The third bullet point, that a national minimum wage be located within the overall wage framework, I would agree with that, but I think we need to then say, we need to expand on it and say that's per sector.
Do you agree with the national minimum wage?
No, I'm not. I'm saying per sector. And that's be located within the overall wage framework. And the overall wage framework at the moment is done on a sectorial basis. It's done through bargaining councils, and it's done through SDs. And if we're going to locate that within that overall framework, then we're agreeing with it. Then the fourth bullet point, that a new collective bargaining model is considered, which includes, and again, we're saying that becomes sectorial, coherent demarcation of sectors. So we are moving then, in terms of this committee, to agree with a sectorial minimum wage as opposed to a national minimum wage, because then we're saying within the sectorial and the SD system, we would then look for that support. And certainly the last bullet point on page 30, that small businesses less than 50 and industry with sectoral determination really exists, we must underline that the exemptions for that small businesses and the informal sector. And the informal sector you'll find all across the country, who we need to try and encourage them to come into the system, because they're now completely outside the system. They pay whatever they feel like paying, but if you got people applying for exemptions, it would draw them in. If I may go then to page... I think it was 49, let me just get there. Sorry, Madam Chair, I'm just getting to page 49, where the next thing is. 39. Is it 39? Actually goes on to page 40. So at page 40 where the bullet points over there, I presume that first bullet point where we spoke about the proposal of 5,000 per month, that'll be taken in line with the recommendations that we've received from NEDLAC as opposed to that. Again, we've said the inspection and enforcement services, that's exactly the same bullet points that we had on the previous one, so we don't need to repeat it. In terms of the awareness campaign, that's absolutely vital, but I'm not sure if we need to have it here as, and again, I don't think we need it in here. I wouldn't agree with the second last bullet point because I don't believe that legislation of this nature should be criminal. When you talk about fines, I don't believe it should be criminal at all. And again, the last bullet point about the general awareness campaign, again, that's not, it shouldn't be a recommendation per se. That's a taken and a given. So thank you for listening to me, Madam Chair.
Honorable Mkhongi, send it up.
No. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Excuse me, Chair. I'm not going to make an input. I just want to seek clarity before Honorable Mkong chips in. Can I go ahead, Chair?
Okay.
Chair, my understanding of this report is that the mandate was to deal with national minimum wage. When we received presentations from the various presenters, some of them spoke on sectoral determination, which was not necessarily our focus for the public hearing. But because in a public hearing you can't discourage a person to say you are offside because it's not soccer, we allowed them to reflect on sectoral determination. And the researchers captured the events as they were taking place, which is correct. On page 29, the majority of recommendations are talking to sectoral determination, which is not a focus for debate today, because we cannot use sectoral determination and national minimum wage interchangeably as if they mean the same thing. When I requested that we focus on recommendations speaking to national minimum wage, it is because I wanted us to come back to the agenda item, because if, as we talk of minimum wage, we also make recommendations on sectoral determination, it means we are discussing two aspects at the same time. Whereas our agenda item talks to national minimum wage, there's nothing wrong with having sectoral determination reflections in this, because they occurred in the public hearings. So, if I'm capturing this wrong, let me be clarified, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Lolo, I hear what you're saying and understand, because I don't think we are moving in the direction that we have agreed upon.
we are only focusing on this report. Remember that before we discuss this report, we agreed that we do have a report made by the minister on national minimum wage. The same report that is out there by NEDLAC. Now, our role is to look at our own. Remember that whatever recommendations that have been made by NEDLAC, those recommendations were not recommendations that were thumbs up. They just sat in this room and decided that it should go in this way. They have done the same thing that we have done at this committee and do their research. And our research as the committee is the participatory democracy to go around and hear what people are saying before we can then come with proper recommendations. And the same information that we got from people before we could even make recommendations, other stakeholders were interested in it to compare, which was out there, which is not a secret. And that was taken into consideration. So I thought that when we then have the two reports, ours and that of NEDLAC, we have an opportunity to look at the two. And Honorable Loliwe is right to say it's not about sectoral determination. Neither is she saying we will not say anything, because sectoral determination here does come in. The national minimum wage on areas or on companies that are already there in what has been set there as a national minimum wage, it is fine. And it is not saying that members or employers and labor cannot negotiate. It must be there or go up. So the two, I think we should use it in a context, not in the context that the researchers were taking everything that people have said. But we must understand where we want to go. We want to talk about national minimum wage. So I don't think we should focus 100%. Take what the minister has said. We said we want to make reflections. Maybe in that report, that the NEDLAC report, we should say those recommendations, we're not happy with that one. Or as Parliament, we want to add this. This is what has been left out. Here we're talking about strengthening, which is fine. It's something that we know. It's something that is in our fingertips, knowing that without these inspectors being capacitated, and I think it's you who knows exactly what is this capacitation are we talking about. It must not just be general. It's something that you know most. If we want those things to be elaborated, let it be. But let's not move all over. Honorable Mkhongi's hand was up.
Okay, I don't want to talk about content. I just want to talk about process.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Mkhongi, I won't stop you from speaking. I just want to talk about the process. We've got four documents. The minister gave us three, and we've got our one. My suggestion, Chair, based on what you're saying, is that we make a decision on documents, the three that the minister gave us. Do we accept them? Do we want to modify them or whatever? There's at least one that I would like to accept immediately without any changes. The other two I have some issues with. And then there's our document, which we can comment on. My worry, just in terms of time constraints, is should we not just, with each of these four documents, our thick one and the three small ones from the minister, should we not just go line by line and accept or not accept and go through, obviously the thick one only on the recommendations, because we're not going to go through all the submissions. I mean, those are submissions. But the only thing that is ours as a committee is the recommendation part, which means that there's only four pages in this big document of ours that needs committee approval in the sense of recommendations. So those 4 pages we can do line by line. Do we agree, do we not agree, or whatever? And there's some items we're not going to agree on. So we just have to handle that the way we do as a committee, either a vote or we just take a majority view or whatever, and then recommend that somebody says in the conclusion they don't agree or whatever the case is. And the same with the 3 documents of the minister. Everybody's giving their opinion on any line in any document. We might be here till Christmas. It's just process. I'm just recommending that on the 4 pages of recommendations in our document, we just go line by line and yes, no, or change. And the same with the minister's 3 short documents. They're very short. We can just go, anybody want to change anything in this document, which line? And then we agree them or we don't agree them and we're finished. All of us can give long inputs on content. But at the end of the day, what do we do with all of those inputs? I'm not sure what we do with them.
That's an important question. What do we do? Because there's NEDLAC report already. I think Honorable Ollis is... okay, before I say anything, Honorable Mkhongi, I think please reflect on that as well, because it's a process. We must come up with a process that is going to really take us to the, track.
No, thank you, Chairperson. This is what I wanted to respond to and make some few proposals. One, there is a report from NEDLAC that was presented in this particular committee, which a report made what we call it econometric findings and decisions in terms of the level of the minimum wage and other related structures, but let's just stick to minimum wage that they proposed. Now we have a report here in front of us which suggests, for example, 5,000, as you have listed the recommendations. So that needs a decision of the committee specifically. I'm making these examples because if you look at the list of recommendations, do not necessarily talking to exactly everything that we need to do at this particular committee, because issues that are being raised here, they reflect a number of laws that have been approved by this parliament. So they impact in a Labor Relations Act, they impact in the Conditions of Employment Act, they impact in number of laws. Now, if you put those recommendations, that necessarily means we'll say that we must go and change some of the laws. So I'm suggesting that, Chairperson, that one, we agree that this report, as it is a draft, is a first draft or second draft of the report that were given by the committee. I mean by the secretariat. But we suggest that they must synthesize this report into basic recommendations. For an example, it's a list of recommendations of people who were there in the public hearings. So you put all of them here. But now if you can do a synthesis of the whole recommendation that talks to the minimum wage, and then you present that to the committee for consideration, because if we're going to list other recommendations on top of these recommendations, whereas there are also many, we are creating a confusion. We're going to be confused, all of us, about what we are supposed to be doing. And I wanted to suggest also, Chairperson, that that report that is coming is going to separate research. That this research must not be there because it's here already. We must just have a report that we want to deal with and then have those fundamental reports that my Honorable Ollis is talking about, the one of NEDLAC and then the one from the minister, and then we'll make a concrete comparison and what we agree upon, because we're not going to finish here in terms of this confusion that has been created.
I think we all agree. Am I making a mistake? Because really the approach should be, the report is fine because we have to have a report. But what we have a problem with in the researchers,
report, its recommendations. I think they were just doing them for us. And as I have said earlier on, we don't have to focus on them, really. Because it's part of our report, I think those that we think we don't need them, we must delete them with immediate effect, so that this report, because we can't have a report that is ours, that will table to Parliament, is going to come up and talk something different to what we believe in as the committee. So I think that we must find a way of dealing with these recommendations, because the rest is fine, it's a reflection of what
people say.
Yes, but then recommendations, we can even delete them completely and say this is what we want as members of Parliament. Honorable Ollis.
Thanks, Chair. Then can I make a recommendation just on process? That we take these three NEDLAC documents, the Accord on Collective Bargaining, the Declaration on Wage Inequality, and the Agreement on the Introduction of a National Minimum Wage, that we add them to our document. Okay? Then we've only got one document. And then secondly, we then go through these recommendations that are already here. Some we just delete because we don't agree. Some we change line by line because we don't like the clause. And then we add extra ones that we think are not here that might come from the NEDLAC 3 documents or ones that we as a committee want. Then we've just got one document with recommendations, and we leave in it all the research and the comments from the public, because that's what they said. It's not our view, it's somebody else's view. But the recommendations are our view. So in the recommendations, we must go line by line and put in what we want, take out what we consider to be not our opinion. It's the public's opinion or somebody else's opinion, it's not our opinion, and modify the ones that we think need some changes. Then we've got one document with recommendations which we can present to Parliament, and then we ultimately vote. We either all agree or only some agree or whatever, and it's done. I'm suggesting that just as a quick process to make it not take years.
I think we are saying the same thing, all of us. I think let's begin that process now. Okay? Honorable America?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. My colleague, Honorable Ollis, has stated what I was going to say. But in addition to that, I agree with the way you interpret things, because this whole question of findings and recommendations in particular, confuses the whole matter, because some of these recommendations contradict those three documents that we're going to discuss. So I don't see the need why we as a committee need to discuss and adopt it, because it contradicts the other three documents, some of it, of course, that we're going to take into consideration. Thank you. But more or less, it supports what you and Honorable Ollis were saying.
Honorable,
thanks, Chair. I agree with the process, Chair.
So let's shoot then. Honorable Tembo Konye.
Yeah, I think we are going now to the goalpost. I agree with the process, and also I agree with the appendix of those three documents. But one thing that we must agree upon as a first recommendation, Chairperson, is 3,500.
What?
It's 3,500 as a minimum wage. Now we're going to recommendation, isn't it? Mm. So now there's a first recommendation which is supposed to anchor the whole discussion, to say that we agree with the recommendation of the minimum wage in South Africa to be 3,500.
Members, we all understand now, we have taken NEDLAC, the three documents, they are part of us. And then we are looking at them. We add where we think we should add, or amend where we think we should amend, but also agree to disagree. So that's the first proposal, 3.5, as NEDLAG has pronounced. Honorable Ollis. So first, when there's a proposal, you need a second or people who reject anything. Honorable Van Skalbeek.
I would like to second the proposal, Chair.
Has been seconded. Honorable Ollis.
Chair, thank you. I'm going to need 2 minutes to explain the DA position, because I need to speak on behalf of the DA and my colleagues. Yes, I'm on this proposal. The DA does not agree on a specific amount. And the reason for that is that we don't believe that a national minimum wage is the solution. So what I have to do is to explain the DA position. I'm assuming that the ANC or the majority on the committee will vote against it. I accept that. But I just need to put it on the record, because otherwise somebody says I didn't cover our position. So would you give me 2 minutes to just put that quickly?
And then, if it's 5 minutes, we'll give you.
Thank you. And then, but I won't. I'm not going to say it again and again on every line item, because then I will keep you here. I want to say it once, and then I've said the thing, and you can put it at the bottom of the document, saying with the DA has another view or something. I don't know, whatever, however you want to deal with it. So our view is that minimum wages must be seen as part of a package of measures. And that package of measures must include the proposals from NEDLAG on, just let me get my document names correct, the Accord on Collective Bargaining and Industrial Action. So this document must be part of the package, and we agree on this proposal, because it deals with violence, it deals with democratizing strikes and so on. So all of that stuff must be put as part of the package. Secondly, because of the fact that there are so many sectors that are very far below 3.5, the minister gave us a long table. I've got another list from the Department of Labor with 19 sectors that fall very far below the national minimum wage. We do not believe that having a national minimum wage is the solution. We believe that the solution should be a sectoral minimum wage set for all sectors. There are about 15 sectors that are not covered currently by either sectoral determinations or bargaining council agreements. There are about 15 other sectors, including undertakers, the IT sector, garden services, and a whole lot. It's about 15. So the DA believes that instead of a national minimum wage, we should add all those other sectors, approximately 15 other sectors, and give them a sectoral minimum wage instead of a national minimum wage. And we believe that is safer for the economy, which is growing at 0.4%, and where Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa has said there's going to be job losses when we implement the national minimum wage. We've seen in the agricultural sector it already happened. So in our view, we are arguing for a sectoral minimum wage for all sectors, not only the ones currently covered, but all the others that are not covered. So for every sector in the economy, there will be a sectoral minimum wage, and that must be set by an independent panel with no politicians, no presidents or presidential candidates or whatever involved. So that is our view. I've said it quite quickly in about 2 minutes. So what I don't want to do now is on every line say that whole speech again, because it's too long. If it can be captured once, then I'm... So In terms of the three NEDLAC document, I've been asked just to speak on the 3.5. So on the 3.5, our view is we don't agree because we believe that the number must be different for each sector depending on whether, for example, in the IT sector, Chair, we believe that it must be higher than 3.5 because in the IT sector, 3.5 is nothing. No, everybody earns more than that. But in other sectors, like the minister gave us this thing of hairdressers that are earning 6 rand 11 per hour, which is way below the 20. And that's an example of if you push it up to 20, township hairdressers, many of them are going to be unemployed because those employers will not be able to up from 6, 11 to 20 in one go, in 1 year. It's the industry will not be able to support that. Some will lose their jobs. So we believe that, for example, in that sector, you should have, maybe it should be 12 rand an hour or something, which is double what they're getting now. So I'm sure, Chair, you understand our position. Our position is, with respect, we don't agree on the 3,500 national minimum wage because we believe in sectoral wages for all sectors set by an independent panel that's got no politicians involved. So that is our view. So I can't agree with the 3.5, not because we agree with no minimum wages, but because we agree with sectoral minimum wages in all sectors. So therefore, 3.5 will work in some sectors, but it will not work in other sectors. And just finally, remember that the 3.5 is not actually the figure. The figure is 20 rand per hour. And the reason I say that is because 3.5 is working on the basis of a 40-hour week, and there is still a 45-hour week on the table, which would be 3,900 per month, roughly. Those 3.5 and 3.9 are approximates. They're not exact. The exact figure is the 20 rand per hour figure, because that's what the calculations are all based on, not the monthly figure, because the monthly figure varies with depending on how many days you work, and depending on whether it's a 40-hour week or a 45-hour week, it varies. So the actual figure you should ask for a decision on is the hourly rate, because then if the hours change or if the length of the week is changed, then those things are negotiated. You know, they're not... anyway, you know what I'm saying. So that's our position. So I'm going to say the same thing on every item when you want to discuss a national minimum wage, and I don't want to repeat it. I just want to say it once, then you can capture the DA's view is not for a national minimum wage, it's for a sectoral wage set by an independent panel with no politicians, and that it will vary from sector to sector, but we want to extend it to all sectors, including those 15 sectors that are not covered, where there are no national minimum wages at the moment. So that is our view. Thanks, Chair.
Can I ask you a question, Honorable Ollis?
Yeah.
You are saying this is your view.
Yeah.
And remember that today we are discussing. We have not discussed the position of the committee. This is for the first time that we are discussing. And it is, I don't understand why would you come with a position without allowing members of the committee maybe to clarify certain questions that you are not clear of? Are you prepared to be convinced in this view that it is not how you believe it, the way some of us understand it, or irrespective of whatever we say, DA will stand? Because on the issue of 3.5 and the IT companies that you are talking about and many other people that would have never been, it can never be, you can't have academic qualifications there and then when you start work as an administrator, for instance, even here in Parliament, and you are given 3.5. We know that there's a reason for this 3.5. And as committee members of Labour, we should know where this 3.5 comes from.
because this is the sector that we're dealing with, workers. And 3.5 is not saying every worker, but 3.5, we have, in the first place, we have to set a national minimum wage because those vulnerable workers that we are talking about, we are referring to, it's not everybody who is highly exploited. It's not everybody who gets, who is not paid at all or who's paid 100 rand a week. There's a certain sectors, and those sectors are covered. The national minimum wage is mainly speaking to those people. And it's not saying you can't start a worker at 12.5, you can't start. There are people definitely who deserve that. So your position is like saying the national minimum wage, the DA position is like saying the national minimum wage, it doesn't matter where, who you are, what qualifications do you have, what skills do you have, you must just be 3.5. It's not what it's saying. But national minimum wage is protecting the vulnerable because it is those vulnerable workers where employers decide on their own what must be given to workers and do as they wish. And this seeks to respond to that expectation. So that's why I'm saying, I'm wondering whether EDA has just come with that position for the sake of coming, or DA does not really understand why minimum wage is set for 3.5. You're also talking about vulnerable. Who minister did when he said, in fact, he made an example of hairdressers, and he said they're the most exploited, more than your domestic workers, they are the most exploited. You are talking of sectors, say, 15 sectors. I don't know now which sectors. Where there's no bargaining, council, and many other things. But national minimum wage speaks to everybody in every corner, for every sector, even that 15. In fact, it's for that those sectors that you are talking about, that's why there is national minimum wage. So I then fail to understand. Maybe you want to say something, Honorable Loliwa, because really, that's the... We'll come to yours, but we are allowed to discuss, because we don't want to get out of this meeting and not give, because when somebody says something, we have a right to say why, and he has explained, but we have a different understanding. So we're still on that, I think so, Honorable Loliwa.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, for me, I think the fundamental question is the one you asked, which is saying, is DA open for further convincing on the matter, or is it just a closed chapter, so that we don't give more factors that argue for this when they say it's a party position, they are not going to change in any way. They need to clarify us there.
Honorable
Olis? Thanks, Chair. I assume you want me to respond to the comment. Well, look, the DA is always open to changing its view. We did change our view on employment equity, I think you remember. Slowly, you know, we thought through all the options, and over time we've changed our view. On this matter of the national minimum wage, we've been discussing it. Our federal council, our federal executive, our caucus in parliament have had meetings and meetings and meetings to discuss the question of a national minimum wage and sectoral determinations and the future. And we've workshopped it. We've also looked at what's happened now in the public hearings. We've listened to the inputs in this committee from business, from labor, from small business, from community organizations, and so on. We are not opposed to somebody being paid 3,500 rand or 5,000 rand or 10,000 rand or 50,000 rand. Because we fundamentally believe that we should try to get the best deal for workers. So we have thought about this a long time. We haven't, it's been years. How long have I been working on this with the party? Three years. My colleague says 4 years, but I would say 3 years. And our federal council is concerned very much with the potential for job losses. The job losses don't occur when you increase the minimum wage a little bit each year. Job losses occur when the big changes happen. So when we implement the national minimum wage, it's going to be a big change. So that is when we're likely to lose job losses. And as we've thought about it, it is our view that the best way to prevent those job losses is to add sectors until we cover the whole economy. And we can do that quickly in 1 year. We can list those sectors. I've given you already many of them. The funeral undertakers, garden services, the IT sector. We can list them. Or we can ask Mr. Mkalipi to give us the list. He's got it already in his head. He's memorized it already. When he's come to the committee, I've asked him a couple of times.
Or the DG.
Sorry, he was just the person who's in charge of policy, and he said it in the committee. That's why I referred to him. But we can ask the DG. You're quite correct. We can even ask the minister. It's a technical question. It's what are the sectors that are not covered to make sure that every sector is covered. And we do believe in enforcing those. So if it is, for example, a determination in the blanket sector for textiles, it's currently, I read it out in the House, 11 rand 30 something per hour. It should be raised, but it should then be policed. So the labor inspectors must check that it's being paid. People can object by reporting their complaints and so on. We're concerned about workers. But we also believe that workers are going to lose their jobs in some sectors if you make it a blanket straight line, 20 rand an hour for the whole economy. One sector I think is going to collapse is the textile sector. I think what's left of the textile sector is going to be wiped out by 20 rand an hour. Because textiles come from overseas, cheap, they land here. And then the local companies have got to try and sell their product at the same price. Otherwise, everybody buys the foreign one. And the local price is fixed because it comes in plus import duty and it lands, the one blanket costs X amount. And you need to employ 5 workers to produce that one blanket. So the money that's there to pay those workers is not going to be 20 rand an hour. And you're going to see the textile sector wiped out. Also, the example of the hairdressers. I agree that the hairdressers are far too low, particularly in townships, but the hairdressers are far too low, and 6 rand is ridiculously low. The problem is, when you take it from 6 to 20, it's more than 100% increase in 1 year. And what we saw in the agricultural sector is when there was a big increase, and it's here in the reports from the DRPU and these other people who made these inputs, that in that one sector we saw these big job losses. So that's why already NEDLAC is recommending only 75% and 90% for domestic workers, agricultural workers and forestry workers. We are saying there are other sectors, like hairdressing, like textile workers, that are going to be jobless. They're going to be fired, retrenched, or whatever the process is that is followed. They're going to be retrenched. And we don't want to see those workers retrenched. We would prefer that they are paid 30 rand an hour. But if we take their salary from 6 rand an hour to 20 rand an hour, a lot of them are going to be retrenched. So I'm just responding to you, Chairperson, to say that we are not rushing into this. We are not wanting to make political point scoring. In fact, if you look at my comments and my colleagues' comments from the DA about sectoral and national minimum wages over the last 3 or 4 years, we haven't been saying a lot in the media. We've 1 or 2 articles because we're trying to be careful to think about the impact on workers, the impact on their future, and we don't want to see 10 workers get double salary and 10 workers unemployed. If we can find a middle ground, and for us the middle ground is to be careful by having a sectoral approach rather than a national minimum wage. I'm sure people will not agree, but it's our view that for 3 years we've talked about, and it's safer for us to have a sectoral wage for those IT workers and workers in the gardening services and workers in hairdressing and all that. It's safer to have a sectoral determination. It should be higher than 6 rand an hour for hairdressers, I'm telling you that. But it should maybe be 12 or 13. I don't know. I don't know what the number is, because we don't believe politicians should set the number. We believe an independent panel with no politicians of economists, experts, labor experts and so on should be setting these numbers, not politicians. So, sorry, I won't say it again, but I'm just responding to say where we are in our process.
I think we understand, Honorable Ollis. We have to, you know, when the view is put on the table, we must talk on it so that it doesn't come out there that this is what was said and the members of the committee did not say anything. It will be a funny committee, because I don't think it will be correct for us to just leave the DA point without saying anything that we believe in on this 3.5 that has been proposed, including on those employers that will not afford. That has been covered. There are mechanisms for that, because whatever position that we take here, members, that we agree or not agree with, but do workers and employers a favor, and I'm saying that to DA, where, though you will not agree, but do them a favor, because once you find someone in your constituency whose business is not able to pay but want workers, you know where to go. You can knock at the Department of Labor and say, how do we help this employer? And where you find small businesses who also cannot pay 20 rand an hour, you also go and knock there and say, how do I help you? You know that there will be exemption.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Not
of course, it will be on merit, because they must apply, and then it must be scrutinized, and on the basis of that, they will be exempted in 20. So I don't want you, as you go out, if you do it, you'll be disadvantaging those you claim that you are presenting. We agree to disagree, but don't let them suffer.
No, we will tell them where to go.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Honorable Mkongi. Oh, sorry, your hand was up.
Finally. Chair, I won't take long. But also, I think I owe it to this committee to raise our view. Well, we don't agree with the 3.5, and our reasons are that the motivation has always been based on the interest of business as to whether how business are going to thrive under the 3.5. That has been mostly the consideration. And our view is that the intervention of the state to impose 3.5 is opportunistic, because in a capitalist society like South Africa, where the economic structure is still not overhauled, where the state is not playing a meaningful role.
Oh,
they are still on. The mic is still on.
Yeah, the odds. So we're saying that the 3.5 is not going to make a difference because the economic structure is still in favor of capital. Until the state takes a greater role in terms of restructuring the economy, that 3.5 is not going to make a difference. In fact, our own approach, also we're saying that we should be looking at the sectors, you see, and the minimum in terms of the most vulnerable sectors should be set at the level of 4,500, you see. So it has always been our view that the 3.5 dinars per hour is not going to make a difference to our own people. We need more. But to support the minimum wage, it must be coupled with the political will and intention to restructure the economy where the state will play a meaningful role and take greater control. Obviously, it means majority of the sectors that are economically active in the country, such as mines, they should be under the state so that whatever derivatives you get there, you are able to ensure that you redirect for the benefit of the poor. So we don't agree with 3.5 on those bases. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khawula. Members, that is the position of EFF. Anything that we want to say on that? Honorable Mkhondo, yes.
No, to just allay the fears of Honorable Ollis, I think it's correct, the stance of 20 rand per hour. You see, so there's no confusion. So we can just take off the 3,000 or 3.5 and then say 20 rand per hour, and then it's going to be calculated according to the hour that person works per week. So I don't think it's a contradiction.
We agree on that.
But what is an issue here, which I think before we go into taking the decisions, because there are other recommendations that are here which flows from the decision of 20 rand per hour. But I think we need to emphasize that the sectoral minimum wage will definitely undermine the spirit of the Constitution of the labor rights as enshrined in the Constitution and other prescriptions of the labor laws in this country. Because if you talk about vulnerable workers, and at the same time you propose that there must be a separate national minimum wage for those vulnerable workers, you are still putting them in the same state. Because, as the chairperson said, the target here in particular are the vulnerable workers that have been exploited for years. So now if you say that, let us not go there because of the threat of unemployment. It creates the very same problem. It still, victimizes those people in terms of their labor rights as per Constitution and other related matters. And we need to go further when we explain this. That there are other laws that we said we're going to talk to in terms of strengthening. Chairperson came with it. That the issue of exemption as per the application supposed to be checked whether it is not a possibility. Not like have proposed it as a possibility. Now, it depends, this committee, whether it agrees with that. And if we agree with that, we can make our own proposal on the modalities of that particular regime of exemptions for such. So this is why we're entering this debate. As to say that let's make these recommendations and discuss them and agree and pass, because that one of exemption could be part and parcel of our own recommendations that we're going to put here. And I think, Chairperson, we're not far from each other. I know, EFF, I don't know, we're not far. It's 4,500, 3,500. We're saying 20 rand per hour, which if someone works 48 hours or more, is going to be closer to that. So the question of compromise in terms of, well, this is the beginning, and it's a process, it's not an end on itself. We're saying that we're going to review the national minimum wage incrementally as the years goes. So it's not an event that is minimum wage, therefore we're going to fold our arms for the next coming 5 years or 3 years. So these are the issues that we're saying we're beginning with in terms of going into the radical socio-economic transformation. So I was going to suggest, Chairperson, that let's get whether we agree with this 20 rand per hour and pass and go to other recommendations. Because I'm looking at time, we're going to finish at 2 years if we are sticking in one recommendation.
Thank you. You were going to speak on 4.5. Thank you. Noted, Honorable Sanskazi.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think as we say we agree on the 20 rands per hour, that should be coupled with the number of hours worked. Because there are brutal employers who are going to reduce the number of hours worked because the stipulation is saying 20 rands per hour. We must also take into consideration that for your domestic workers, there's a 75% agreed upon implementation currently. And for farm workers, 90% of the agreed upon amount, which is put in place. So those are some of the considerations we have to agree on, because we don't want to kill the employers, nor do we want to kill the workers. But what we cannot allow is the exploitation of workers, because even employers that can afford are running away from paying the expected salaries or the agreed upon amounts. When it comes then to an amount which is more than the 3.5, which is agreed upon at NEDLAC, we must remember that even in our public hearing, there were members who presented cumbersome amounts. But we need to be realistic here, because even at NEDLAC, when we were following that process, stakeholders there came with different amounts, but on further engagement, they agreed on an average that they take 3.5. Because if we come with an amount which is not going to be affordable, it may also lead to what Honorable Ollis is fearing, which is the issue of job losses. And all of us here, ours is to ensure that we protect the jobs of the individuals that are in the various workplaces for the sake of the welfare of the family, which is a basic unit in our society. Thanks, John.
Honorable Fanskalvik.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to speak in terms of that incremental increment of the farm workers in the domestic sector, but pointing to the point 7 of the agreement at NEDLAC, it states that no employer may unilaterally alter downwards conditions of employment. It will be equal to unfair labor practice or non-compliance. So those are the kind of issues that we need to emphasize during the awareness campaigns to make workers aware of what is the don'ts and the do's with regarding to the national minimum wage. But also emphasizing point 8.2 in terms of the exemptions, that any employer is allowed to ask for exemption upon approval of the relevant documentation. So it will mean that that will somehow cover employees in terms of losing their jobs, but also will cover employers in terms of those who can't afford the national minimum wage. They will be able to prove that they can't afford it, and they will be able to apply for exemption. Thank you, Chairman.
And Honorable Bakrain, are you going to talk on this 4.5, or is another thing?
I want to just talk on what we've just heard about the exemptions, if I may.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I must tell you that exemptions are a nightmare. Currently, we have a system of exemptions under the Labor Relations Act and the various bargaining councils that have exemption regulations. The exemptions, first of all, can take months, if not years. Second of all, they are wholly unsuccessful in the sense that you have five wolves and a sheep sitting around the table deciding what to have for lunch. And then finally, the exemptions are highly technical, and most of the small businesses, in fact, I don't know any small businesses under 50 employees that have been able to get a technically correct the exemption process. So the reality is the exemptions is a misnomer. You very seldom get an exemption unless you have some bright spark attorneys and the money and the wherewithal to actually sustain an exemption application. I can take you through the last 15 years of exemption applications to the various bargaining councils, and I'd say about 95% of them have been incorrect. Over and above that, when they are incorrect, then you still have to then go to the Labor Court to challenge and take up the exemption procedure on review, which will take another year. And unfortunately, this then descends into a quagmire of complete nonsense. So my reality is very different to what people are talking about over here. When they say exemptions, that sounds really easy. You come in, you show what your accounts are like, you can't afford it, and then they give you an exemption, and then you come back 6 months later and apply again or then implement the minimum wage. It doesn't work like that at all. The other thing is they've now boldly said that we must apply, that you can, there will be an exemption system. One doesn't know who's actually going to be setting up this body for exemptions. We have, I don't know how many small businesses there are in this country, but let's say there are 20 million small businesses and they're all going to be applying for exemptions. Can you imagine the nightmare when, in fact, the Department of Labor can't handle workman's compensation, UIF, etc.? They're never going to be able to handle 20,000, never mind 20 million, but 20,000 exemption applications. It's just an impossibility. So I'm not sure where this is coming from, but I'd like to see it fleshed out and who's going to be chairing these exemptions. Thank you for hearing me on that, but I'm very negative about it.
No, thank you, Honorable Bahrain. And, well, it's, I would understand if a person who says what you are saying, that it's not going to work, it's a nightmare, it does not work even today, and all the other things that you have said, if it came from the member of the public. If you are saying that and you are in a position to make things work, then I think there's a problem. I agree with you when you say you are negative about it, because we are here and we have agreed, we said, we will look at these recommendations. Where we need to amend and tighten and strengthen, we have all the right to do that. You are in this committee. No, so I don't think we really, there's an interest or there is an enthusiasm to make the process work. But it can work if we all want. Be that as it may, we will look in what you are saying. Remember that at the end of all this, we are the same committee that will have to deal with the legislation that is going to deal with this. So for us to throw hands like somebody who will have no power to change, who will have nothing or no contribution, that's a problem for me. But we heard what you have said, we'll take it into consideration, but exemptions will be there, and we'll assist our people as much as we can. These same people who should be doing the same thing that you do with other people that you help. And, you know, the small businesses, most of them are from the townships.
Correct.
Yes. I understand. I don't think I want to speak politics now, really politics. I don't want to speak politics now. I think I'll put it aside. That time will come. You have helped a number of people. with the Department of Labor. You've complained now and again that there are certain things. I never heard you complaining about these exemptions that you have taken someone from who has a problem with the same thing that we're talking about. You've never, ever. But I understand because the majority of those people are from the township. When I say township, I refer to colored communities. I refer to
my clients.
Yes, it's your clients, but we never hear you complaining about them in any case. It's only now. You should have. Would you have raised it before, like you have raised other issues? I'm sure we would have. You would have been assisted. It means you'll be assisted. We'll look into that. The members, Honourable Khaula, if you look through in what NETLEC is proposing, there is going to be that commission. It's called Commission of Experts. There's a commission that will be dealing, looking at this national minimum wage, so that every year, if possible, it must be, you know, raised depending on number of issues. And that commission is composed of members from labor, members from community, members from business, and members from government. And I think that all of us as we're seated here, those are our constituencies. And in fact, these decisions that come from NETLEC are coming from our own constituencies. We don't have different constituencies. All we have, we work in communities. We find business people. You know, government is answering, is accountable to us. I don't know then where did we miss it, these figures. Because if Labour agrees, they all agree across, irrespective of their political affiliation, they've all agreed, and those are our constituencies. Business has agreed. So all of them, they've agreed. Meaning that our constituencies, all of them, are represented there. And they understand that they had to take each other's interest. Workers, the labor movement could not push for higher wages, and I mean for higher national minimum wage, when business is saying, let's start here because we'll afford. Let's start here, but let's improve it gradually. That's what is going on. So we don't want to disadvantage anybody. Unfortunately, government is caring for all of them. Government has interest of the business at heart because we want to see our economy growing. Government has the interest of the workers. Both parties are taken into consideration. No one has been left behind yet. And fortunately, it's smooth. Thank you. Honourable
Ollis. Thanks, Chair. Just a two-finger on representativeness. NETLEC only represents less than 15% of the businesses and the labour workers in the economy. Only less than 15%. It's not representing small business. The small business organisations are not given a seat at NETLEC. That's why I raised it in this committee about three times now. The small trade unions are not given positions at NETLEC. NETLEC is big business, big labour, and big government. The small players are really not there.
We have missed this one. In this taking of the position of this, the business, small business is represented. They are represented in this case. And why they are not represented, we don't know. I think government, all these people that are talking about, the way of, they all have their organization. It's not individual. They don't go there as individuals, but they get affiliated to organization. Imagine if we can take all of them one by one. It will not work. That's why they must be affiliated. And if they don't get affiliated, what do we do? if they need to be assisted, if there is something that say we cannot affiliate or we are not allowed to be affiliated because of ABC, let them come here. Then we deal with that.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I understand the process and I do not intend to make your life difficult by explaining the process that was followed by NEDLAC. I'm just raising a principle with you in terms of what the EFF believes, that any implementation of a national minimum wage on 3.5 under the current economic structure is a drop in the ocean economy. But the point that I'm interested to harbor on now, which is what Honorable Loliwe has reminded me on, is what the minister was proposing as an implementation process of the national minimum wage, where he was talking about 75% for the domestic workers and 90% for the farm workers. And I think also that proposal, I don't agree with it, because I've said it here last week when I was here that the 3.5 minimum wage that NEDLAC is agreeing upon, it should be measured on the basis of the impact it will have to the most vulnerable. But if you're still not going to implement it 100% to the very same vulnerable workers, it means you are actually contradicting yourself in terms of what you sought to achieve. So my point is that let the minimum wage be implemented 100% from the bottom up, especially in your most vulnerable, in the main, the farm workers and the domestic workers, including even if those sectors that I might be mentioning might be covered under the sectoral determination, but that if the sectoral determination is still giving an expression which is less than what is proposed by the national minimum wage, let's augment it by the minimum wage. Because if you are going to stagnate it in terms of saying that let's do it percentage-wise, then next time it's going to be and progressively towards that 100%, of which the same 3.5 is nothing, I think that you are contradicting yourself to the public. Let that be the start for the most vulnerable worker in South Africa, that 3.5.
Honorable, we must start explaining this renewal.
Yeah. I just forgot the point. Mm-hmm. I noted that the minister herself, he said that there was a recommendation that perhaps the national minimum wage must be reviewed, but then there was still no time frame as to when must it be reviewed. And I want to suggest that the renewal must be done annually as a recommendation. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Honorable Loliwe.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I remember when we were conducting public hearing, when we met domestic workers, for instance, when somebody stood up to say they are proposing 3,000. Unlike in other sectors, there are people who stood up to say, in terms of needs, that amount is okay. But now let's face reality. I'm thinking of an employer who is like myself in another life. Because before I came here, I was a teacher. Teachers are amongst those that are not paid highly. And it warrants that they have people helping in their houses. So they are amongst the employers that are going to go and apply for exemption because they are not going to afford this national minimum wage. But now that there is at least a consideration of phasing in implementation in those sectors, which talks to 75%, is trying to bring on board almost everybody so that compliance to this is at its highest, because there's nothing bad like having laws that are not implemented, where you'll have to make to increase the workload of the inspectors of the Department of Labor. Where I am seated, Chair, I think we have exhausted this issue. So I wanted to appeal to you now at least to sum up our discussion so that we can craft a way forward on this one. Thanks.
All the parties that are in the committee room have spoken, and I think it is in order that we must find a way forward. Are we done with all these recommendations? But I think, is there anything else in what is in the NEPLET document that we want to elaborate on or edit? Because we have agreed, we are taking everything and then agreed. Any other thing else, members, that we want to elaborate on or none? Then I think we should come to a stage of members, we are at in a stage where we will then adopt the report as we have agreed to move. Like we have agreed that we are taking NEPLET report and include it in ours, and then deal with those that we don't add or edit. So the only issue that we have disagreed upon or agreed to disagree is the issue of the issue of the 3.5. Are we together?
No, we're not.
Honorable Is the issue, I'm still talking, is the issue of 3.5, and then there's an issue that was raised by Honorable Ollis on DA stance on national minimum wage.
Yeah.
Those are the two issues. Agreed? A third one is which one? Can please? The 4.5, Kalog, I'm saying what is that, where we are not on the same level is the question of 3.5. So there is 4.5 and 3.5. But then DA is the sectoral.
Yeah.
So with those are the issues. Any other issue? Honorable Rusfan.
Can we put it on the record that we don't mention the national minimum wage being at 3.5, but rather 20 rand per hour?
20 rand per hour. Yes, I think how is it captured there? 20, which is if it's 40, 20 rand per hour, 3.5 per 40. Per 40 hours or 3.9, okay. Okay.
Chair, the EFF proposes 4.5 for 40 hours. So it's 4.5 for 40 hours a week. So obviously, I'm not bringing my calculator now, how much is that 4.5 is going to translate into per hour. But I want to believe it will be a 30 rand or plus minus 30 rand. So I don't want to be co-opted to what we call was reason. Thanks, Chair.
So I think we are together. For 40 hours, it's for a week. So it's how much?
4.5.
Okay. Have you captured that correctly, Zolani?
25.56 rand per hour.
Okay. No, but we'll only record what he says, Honorable Ollis.
I agree, but I'm just saying the number.
Yeah. So any other thing that we... There's no other thing. I think we should adopt this report as such.
Which one?
Remember that we have taken the NetLeg 3 and put it in our own.
Yes.
And then we have agreed that in that NetLeg 1, we will agree, disagree, amend.
Yes.
So we have disagreed, and I don't think there are any amendments.
Sorry, Chair. I hear what you're saying. My question then is, we've got still in these documents lists of recommendations.
Which one?
Well, it's one document now because we've put it all together.
Yeah.
So the four documents have become one document from today, but the document has still got lists of recommendations on page 29, etc.
The one from the committee?
Yeah.
No.
So it's together. There's now
one. No, you have forgotten something. Remember that we have said we are doing away with the recommendation of the researchers.
All of them.
Yes. All we are taking there is what was said in public hearings because then we are doing away. We suggested that we put in the NetLeg 1, and then we agree and disagree, and we are done with that.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So then under recommendations, we are putting the three different positions. Is that what we're doing?
Yes, of course.
And then we'll get a copy of the written version of that.
Yes, we'll adopt, and then the objections.
No, sorry, Chair. The point I'm making is now, what are we adopting? Because you just used the word adopt, so I just need to check what we are adopting.
So we're not resolving on anything.
Yeah. Okay. Is that just for a few minutes?
Sure. We can't agree to adopt the NetLeg documents without any comment. They must apply that.
You must just marry it first.
They must bring back a new document next week. Just put all these documents together, bring them next week, and then we'll put at the bottom what we want. Yeah, whatever, that's fine, but we must put in writing. None of this we adopt. We adopt what?
Can we then resume the meeting? Honorable Ollis, you are still on the floor.
Chair, I was just asking, you used the word adopt, and I was just trying to clarify what it is we are adopting. So I wasn't sure that we'd removed all these recommendations. Maybe I was in the bathroom when that was said, so I apologize if I missed it. But I'm okay if you want to remove all those recommendations. I mean, but whatever recommendations we put in, I just want us to agree before we adopt the whole thing. So, I mean, I propose that we add these three NEDLAC documents because they come to us from NEDLAC, but that's without comment. We obviously have to comment on them. Do we agree with them? Do we disagree with them? Do we accept everything in them? I mean, for example, our view would be that the thing on industrial action, we like it. We would agree to that probably. The one on a national minimum wage being fixed at 3.5 or 20 rand, we won't agree with all of that document. So, you know, I'm sure the three parties have different views on that. But I'm happy to adopt the content of the committee report without the recommendations because it's just the facts of what was brought to us as a committee. But if the committee is going to send a report to the National Assembly, then we obviously have to put some sort of comment or recommendation on this. And how do we get those recommendations into the document or what's that process? I was just asking about the process, Chair.
We don't have any new recommendations, Honorable Collins. We don't, because if we have taken the three documents of NEDLAC and put them together with ours after removing the recommendations of the researchers, there are no new recommendations. Remember that we said we will agree and disagree on what NEDLAC has written.
Yeah.
And that's what we have done.
Chair, if I may. I hear you, but where have we said in writing that we disagree on the NEDLAC recommendation? Somewhere there must be a paragraph or a sentence or something that says that parties have different views or something. I don't know. We can't. You see, if we add these three NEDLAC documents to our report, the NEDLAC documents have specific recommendations, specific items that it wants, NEDLAC wants. Now, NEDLAC is an advisory body to the minister and to government and to parliament. So parliament must then do something with these NEDLAC reports. And when I said we should add them to our report, I was trying to make it one document so that it's easy to deal with. I'm not saying that we all agree with all of the content. So somewhere we must say we agree, we don't agree, or something. Otherwise, you know, the committee can't adopt the NEDLAC report. It's not our report. It's somebody else's report that's been sent to us. So we either accept it or we modify it or what do we do with it? I mean, yes, we've added it to our document, but that's just another report, like the reports from Treasury or NEDLAC or UCT or WITS or all these other reports from the Black Management Forum or Santaka. It's just another report until we decide something about it. So, yes, let's consolidate it all into one document so it's easy to deal with. But we can't then adopt it without comment. We must. What is our comment? The committee is going to say nothing. So I'm suggesting that there must be a comment from the committee, either by party, three parties' views, or otherwise the committee adopts all of this with the comment that DA and EFF have different views or something. I don't know how you want to handle it.
Lollywood, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I propose that we have a paragraph which is saying the committee agreed to incorporate the NEDLAC report into the report as presented by our researchers. But on the area of the amount, there were divergent views. And we say after thorough engagement, the committee could not agree
on a particular position on this matter until the issue was taken to a vote. And then we would take the matter to a vote so that we don't have a committee report that is confusing on what we are actually saying.
Does the proposal, Honorable Tongwan, that is...
I support the proposal by Honorable Lolio
Chairperson. The proposal is that the matters that we don't agree, I mean, we must adopt the report through a vote, and we must do what is done, what we have done before, what is done in Parliament, because what there will be one, you can't have a report that have different views. But your views, yes, your views are going to appear on the minutes. Definitely that's how it happens. But you can't have a report that have different views. The report will have different, one view. That's how it's done. Even there, you draw it, you go to Parliament. We're not going to say this was a view and then this was a view. There is only one view that will surface out of many views. Honorable Khaula.
Thanks, Chair. I hear what the proposal is, but I thought also the view that was suggested by Mr. Wallace, it was taken into consideration other recommendations that were made by the minister over and above, because we have basically dealt with the minimum wage as to how much must it be. And then also, we have also engaged on the issue of the implementation process that is advised by the minister. And basically, those are the only things that we have dealt with. And now you are saying in terms of the process that we agreed upon, we said that from the document of the researchers, we are going to take out their recommendations. But I want to check if we have satisfied ourselves that there are no recommendations from the document that the minister presented that do not need our attention. Because the view that Mr. Wallace was raising was that what we must do now is to merge all these documents and also make sure that we give attention to other recommendations that we might not have engaged them. Not unless you're saying to me the recommendations of the minister were only the issue of the one that we have dealt with here now. So there is no other recommendation besides what we are going to take out from the researchers that still needs the attention. Because if we're proceeding now, because I thought it was giving a process towards the adoption so that we also give attention to other recommendations. But if we're saying that the only recommendation that needed our attention as far as minimum wage is concerned were only the issue of the minimum wage, then I will understand that we can proceed as advised by Honorable Lolima. But if there are others, I would think that perhaps we need to.
But members, I really don't understand. I said, are there any other issues that we don't agree upon? Because so far, these are the only two issues that have surfaced. That, in fact, Honorable Ollis have said, that's the position of the DA throughout. So he does not want to be saying one all the time when we talk. That's what he said. He said, we must know, because he doesn't want to repeat himself, throughout, that's the position of the DA. And we have accepted that. And then I asked you, any other thing that we do not agree upon as the committee except that position of the DA and this position of a 40-hour per week and then that 4.5 of EFF, nobody said anything. how can we say now it is not in order when we are proceeding? So I think that members, maybe let me say this. Honorable Khawula, any other thing that you don't agree? Because, you know, some of the things, probably members did not go through these things before we came here. Because you would have, I don't think if you did, you did not do thoroughly. You would have seen the similarities in some of the things that we have said and the things that are there in that report. Let me make it short. Honorable Khawula, I'm straight to you. Any other thing that you want us to entertain before we can say on this report, except the ones that we've raised?
Chair, you'll remember that my first contribution was on the recommendation. Up until we said, no, we're making a mistake on the approach. So now I'm unable to dissect which recommendation belonged to the researchers and which recommendation that came from.
If there is a recommendation that you want to you sponsor, please sponsor it, irrespective of where it comes from.
No, I have done it. Remember, yes. On my the four bullets I have raised were substantiated. But now, like I'm saying, that after my contribution, there was an indication that no, we're moving wrong because we're putting together sectoral determination and the minimum wage, and we have given expression to those things.
Mm.
So I thought then, as Honorable Ollis was saying, that let us start the process by outlining starting from the documents of the minister, indicate which recommendations that belong here, which we agree upon, which I thought that then the process we had started with has been abandoned. We're going to start a new process. But then on the new process, we only focus on the minimum wage. And that's where I understood his point of departure when he was saying that we must then allow a process where all the four documents are going to be put together with all those recommendations. And then when we come back, we're going to say that recommendation A, agree or not, Zalonzar. You understand? So I think that's where we got confused, when we started the process and abandoned it and proposed a new one.
Unfortunately, that abandonment of the other process was a democratic process as well. So there's nothing that was imposed on anyone. So if the members were not wild awake at that stage, then they didn't understand what we were doing. Unfortunately, that's how it's reflecting. And I'm still saying now on that issue of the documents that were brought by the minister, the only issue that were raised were these two. I don't know of any. So if it means that because the voting process that is going to take place, it's going to be adopting all that, of course, the objections will be noted, and the minutes of the committee will have every detail of what we are objecting.
Okay. Lastly, the only thing that I had was the issue of the minimum wage, as you correctly, but also please capture this one, the implementation of 75% and 90% from the. It's also the point of contention from my side. Thank you.
There's a second one from EFF. Okay, Honorable Ollis.
Chair, thank you. When I said that we should add these three documents here to our committee report, it was the understanding that we were going to then put a recommendation or five recommendations or some recommendations from the committee. Because we agree with some of the documents from NEDLAC, but we don't agree with all of them. So my problem is that when you add them now to the committee report and delete all the recommendations, it means automatically we are now accepting the content of the three reports and we don't agree. So we need to capture our view somewhere, and if you want the report to have no recommendations, and so on, then we need to, in the minutes, give maybe two sentences of our view, at least in the minutes, or somewhere. See, because we've now deleted, so now there are no recommendations. The only recommendation now is that we adopt the committee report without recommendations, and we adopt the three NEDLAC documents without recommendations. That then means the committee says nothing, but implied in saying nothing is we've accepted the three NEDLAC documents, and we don't all accept the NEDLAC documents, because my colleague from the EFF must speak for himself, but he will find that in the one NEDLAC document it says 3.5 and 20 rand an hour, which he doesn't agree with. It also says national minimum wage instead of sectoral wage, which we don't agree with. We have other things. We believe in blanket exemptions for certain categories as well, which are not reflected in the NEDLAC documents. So the point then is, I'm asking either that you put a specific recommendation added to this report, which is now four reports, or we must give Zolani a two-sentence summary of our view that he can put in the minutes. Because we need to know what we're adopting, and there's nothing. The four reports together have no recommendations. And for us to adopt that with no comment means that we agree, and we don't all agree.
I think this is one report, actually. This is one report. We have received a report from the minister. We have received a report from the academics. We have received a report from different sectors of workers, and we have put that into one. Including this one cannot be an exception. The NEDLAC report is not an exception, because we are putting all of them together.
Okay.
Remember that we have said the recommendations of NEDLAC have taken into consideration what workers and what academics, what all these other sectors that we have seen into consideration, all the submissions that were given to us, that have been taken into consideration. So this thing, you can't separate the NEDLAC report and make it different from that one of the academics and make it different from that. Remember, we are a committee of parliament. We are taking all these reports, NEDLAC report included, and make it one. And out of one, we then take what we want, and what we don't want, we don't take it. But remember, the NEDLAC one is unique than the others, because before they could come with recommendations, they said, give us what has been sent to you, the submissions, not your recommendations, but the submissions, so that as we craft our own recommendations, we take them into consideration. So let's not forget that. And we can't be repeating same thing and go back and front and go back and front, Honorable Ollis.
No,
I think we must reach a stage where we agree to disagree. But what I don't agree with is to separate this NEDLAC report as if there's a report that came, unlike other reports, it came officially and was presented like all the other reports that came to us and presented. And it happens that because they took everything that we have taken into consideration, that we understand.
I agree with you, Chair, but just a two-finger. You said that they must be added, and then we take from them our recommendations. Where are our recommendations? That's my question.
We are going to look out of the recommendations by NEDLAC, because the recommendations by NEDLAC in any case are specific. All other recommendations that we got from different sectors or different categories of workers, they were scattered all over your left, sectoral designation, but this one, NEDLAC, was focused on national minimum wage, and they took all the submissions. And we have said here that let's look at that report of NEDLAC and on those recommendations, that the decision that we took here, not somewhere else here, that let's look at those recommendations. And those that we agree with, let's air our views. Those that we want to amend, let's say it, and that's what we have done.
Where is that list?
The list is Honorable Ololiwe. Yeah.
Chair, same thing you are saying, vote differently. In the basket, we have the NEDLAC agreement. I'm making an example, which captures what is going to transpire. What are members adding over and above that?
Good. Well, now let's give our list.
Honorable Mkhongi?
I think Honorable Maloli, you have got me, because we have this declaration, the agreement, and it's giving us processes. For an example, it speaks about the 20 rand per hour that we've just discussed here. And if you go, it gives you the process that this process is going to begin on the 1st May 2018. Yeah. If someone had a disagreement, could have raised something about that, because I've raised to endorse. There's a process that talks about the adjustment of minimum wage is here. You see, and then if a person differs, could have raised an issue, because we said this report should be read together with these documents. So if there's a different view or there is a proposal, that proposal must come.
Honorable Ollis.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Lolly, we want to know, and I assume that that's what you want to do now, our proposals on the NEDLAC document, and we can give those to you, but somebody needs to take notes if they're going to write down these comments. So can I give you those comments?
Okay.
All right. So first of all, we don't, in the document titled Agreement on the Introduction of the National Minimum Wage.
I hope you are not going to repeat what you have said, because exactly what you have said now, what you are going to say is what you have said when you were talking about DA's position, and it was captured here.
Okay.
Any other thing, I think you must raise something that you did not raise. That's what we want to hear.
Okay, well, add to what I've already said, we believe in blanket exemptions for four categories, and I'll just give them to you. I've got it typed out here for myself. We believe in a blanket exemption for SMMEs that have a turnover below what's indicated in the SMME code. For the youth, which is under 25 students, and those on the youth wage subsidy or employment tax incentive, apprentices or internships while they are on their internship, and workers who earn the bulk of their income from commissions, such as estate agents and so on. And then, if I could just reiterate my point, that the independent wage panel must not have politicians, and those other two points I made earlier, that we want sectoral minimum wages for all sectors, including the 15 sectors that are not yet covered. If that's all in there, then I'm happy that I'll shut up.
Why would you threat the question of politicians? Because
because it's a politician that appointed the members of the panel at NEDLAC.
So I think you must come out then and tell us how would you want this panel to be? Because when you say it's politicians, we don't see in that panel it's not politicians, but then come up with a specific proposal.
Thank you, Chairperson. The point is that the members of the panel were chosen by the deputy president, who is a politician and who is a candidate to be the president in 2019. So it's a politician who chose them. So it's possible, and I'm not saying it did happen, but it's possible that a politician will choose people that is going to say what they want the panel to say, rather than an independent panel. The panel was not chosen by Parliament. It was also not chosen by NEDLAC. It was chosen by the president, one person. So we are saying that the panel must be academics, labor experts, and related experts who are appointed as an independent panel, not chosen by a president or one politician. That's what we're saying.
We take that, it will be reflected on minutes. And that's the view of the DA, because the panel that is in NEDLAC, that panel, That panel was appointed by the deputy president, and it was agreed by NEDLAC. It was not like they were dictated to. They were just told this is. It was discussed and it was agreed. And in any case, this responsibility of the national minimum wage was given to the deputy president. And from the beginning, if that was a call or was a concern that it should have been given to someone else or to parliament, we should have heard that long before by hearing for the first time. But that's the view which is accepted. But we need to talk on it as well. We're done on it. Honorable Mukongi?
The chairperson, I think that is a view of the DA, but I think the DA also needs to be learned to be engaged in their proposal. For example, they are proposing blanket exemption. Two, they are proposing youth under 21. They are proposing those who are in internships and those that could be in other related work, like perhaps the expanded public works program. But if you read this, point 8.
Which document?
Point 8, yes, yeah, or on the question of the coverage of the national minimum wage is broad, is also including all these sections or sectors that you are talking about.
No, 8.1 says no.
Which?
Sorry, Chair. 8.1 says SMMEs will not be excluded.
No, but the problem is that they don't read it in full, so you must read it in full in order for you to understand, because you just read one sentence. And then you didn't go into it in full. It was in full is explaining 8.1, 8.2, yes, and 8.2 and 8.3, where it talks about community works programs and so forth and so forth. So I think you must read this document in whole, and then we are going to understand it.
No, I have. My point is in addition to that.
Okay. No, Honorable Ollis, no. We accept your view, but we have said that we are not. I mean, committee members are not information consumers. Everybody will say something. If a member wants to say something, will be allowed. But that allowing of the discussion of each party's view does not say that you have not spoken. The minutes will reflect what you have said. But we'll have to talk.
I'm covered.
Thank you. Any other thing that we need to add, members? Nothing. Let's go back, Honorable Loliwa, to where we left. Where
Chair, I thought we agreed that there are areas where we don't agree, and we'll subject those to a vote. So far, I've heard amendments from the DA, from the document we think we have. So I think now we have only two ways to go, either to take the NEDLAC document as is or take the NEDLAC document with the additions as proposed by Honorable Ollis. I propose to subject that to a vote so that we finalize the process.
The vote is proposed. Again. Yes, now we're moving forward and we are not going to be sent back again because I think we have allowed that space. We can't go back again. Yeah, I give you one to vote now.
Chairperson, that's correct. That's fine. Yes. Just the colleague sitting in front of me has also made amendments. He wants his 4.5. Maybe we should vote on that also.
No. We're not voting. Honorable Ollis.
No, I'm not sure.
You are a member of parliament. I think you are the oldest of them all here. Yeah. And you know that when you vote,
yeah,
what the majority will say,
yeah,
that is what will be sufficing.
Correct.
And now we are saying we are going to vote for the report to be amended. I mean, for the report to be adopted. And any other, if you, Honorable Loliwe has proposed, and it has been seconded by Honorable Tongwana, and we are continuing, and we are not going to be voting on the other issues that have been said. Those other issues are there. I will reflect in the minutes. You will also speak on them when we discuss the issue in Parliament. Then you can speak on them. But we are not going to put them as part of our report. They are not part of our report. We are going to
put them in the minutes.
Yes, in the minutes, of course. That's how it's done. So we can't be confused today. It's just like that. Honorable, then the will be those who adopt the report as it is.
Without amendments.
Without, of course, as it is. Up the hands.
Only one.
Only one.
We both know.
And I'm calling you. We are taking some.
No, but what are you doing?
Yeah? What?
Thank you. Mentioning your name because that was sexy. That's why I keep mentioning you.
Those who object to the report. Yes. No. It's not going. Only two members.
Yeah,
we understand that process. Don't worry. So it means that the report has been adopted without amendments. And thank you. What else?
You must ask. You got another room to come. I'm sure this one's over. Are we finished, Chair? Was that the one that was presented last week? Didn't we finish last week?
Did you go through? Okay, let's go to page one of the report. Any comments on page one? Page two? Page three? Page four? Page five, page six, page seven, page eight, Honorable Mukongi, page eight. Page 8, Honorable Fonseca.
I move the further adoption of the report.
Thank you. And who's seconding that? Honorable America is seconding it. There are two. Yes. So the report, quarter two report of the Department of Labor. 2016-17 has been adopted. And the, thank you. Last week's minutes, members, they are in front of you, page one. Page two. page 4. Page 5, Honorable Mzobo. Honorable Mzobo is moving for adoption. Honorable America is seconding. The meeting stands adjourned.